Hi, I'm Randy McLean, the president of Waypoint Analytics, and Bruce, also from Waypoint Analytics. Bruce Merrifield is an industry expert and serves on the boards of numerous companies. We've been having some discussions this morning about, you know, what's going on in the business, what's going on in the industry, how things are changing. Amazon has been a big topic across the last few years as Amazon Supply, and they've made some course corrections as they've been trying to launch themselves into a B2B area. And one of the questions that I'm asked frequently is whether I should be, as a company, opening a store on Amazon and participating in the Amazon marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an interesting question because it does open up some avenues. Of course, there's other things. You know, sometimes the vendors don't like it. The competitors don't like it.
Yeah.
But in my view, I'm a pretty aggressive competitor. And if there's some product moving anywhere, I'd like to have a piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it occurs to me that any given product line is going to wind up on Amazon somewhere from
mm-hmm.
someone.
Mm-hmm.
And so why cede that part of the market to someone else?
Right.
By voluntarily deciding that you're not going to take profits where you could have them.
Yeah. Well, I've been following it, and I've chatted with some distributors who've done some experiments on there, and I've come across a delightful young guy, a very sort of intense, bright ex-Amazon guy.
Yeah.
Named Alan Adams, and he's got Navizon Consulting. I mean, you know, email me, bruce@merrifield.com. I'll send you a saying. He left Amazon, moved across the street, opened up his business, and he basically advises people on how to participate in the marketplace. He does contracts with manufacturers who sell directly to Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
So some of your juiciest items that that Amazon seems to be buying direct, he might be helping out there. But what I've come to realize is that the people that do go on to Amazon tend to have a very niche kind of thing. It's not like I'm going to take my business the way it's always been
mm-hmm.
and somehow magically put it on Amazon's platform.
Yeah.
It has to do with, I've got a lot of junky items, you know, that I'd like to, you know, move. So if I just put them on there, people type this code in, they're looking for an odd item, they put it in, it pops up. I'm happy to get 50 cents or $2 on the dollar, it doesn't matter. You know, if I can move it, I can move it.
So it's part of the, so one of the opportunities is to make it part of the ecosystem where
like
out of date or,
yeah, like
or old
books.
Product can.
It's like, this book is out of print, but used books, you can still buy it
there's
for
the vehicle to liquidate
2, 3, 4, 10 bucks or whatever.
Yeah.
I've seen people who have said, you know, to buy, I'm a little guy, but I've got a good location, and so to buy a football item on a competitive basis, I got to buy so much of it
mm-hmm.
that the balance I just put on, you know, my little website and blow it out at an everyday low price, you know, type mm-hmm. of thing. And this one guy said, you know, and I've gotten in trouble with a couple of manufacturers about it because they don't like seeing their brand,
mm-hmm.
you know, at these everyday super low prices, you know, and I don't know mathematically how that worked out. It's just, you know, if it's out there, I'd be curious to sort of interface that and figure out what it's all about, you know.
There's a common theme to what you've been talking about, and it's things that we've been recommending for a long time. You should have a service model or a business model for each thing that you do. It's not healthy in today's world to only do one thing, and to do what you do only one way for everybody.
Right.
It's not being customer-centric, and it's a very poor way to try and generate profits because
mm-hmm.
No matter what you've chosen, and no matter how efficient it is for the target audience,
right.
it's going to be less so for everyone else.
Right.
And that's why the best companies always have multiple service models. So, you know, a model for your mainline B2B customers that bring you large quantity orders for things with an advanced timeline and so on. A different model for your counter sales customers
right.
that,
right.
you know, show up, you don't really know who they are, and they buy some stuff and disappear.
Right.
Then, you know, the service model should be different. You know, you shouldn't be, you know, writing up trade credit, capturing their names so you can bill them later, you know, giving them free delivery or the
sure.
things that are, you know, hallmarks of the regular line of trade.
And you know, the product, the freight, it's got to fit the platform,
yeah.
you know, and the math of everything.
So the thing that you've described is having a service model for liquidating outdated and stale inventory by getting it online in a broad marketplace, being able to collect money for as long as it lasts, and having a liquidation method is a lot more profitable and useful in the marketplace
mm-hmm.
than just simply, you know, having a warehouse sale.
Well, and some of the stuff isn't necessarily discounted. I mean, you know, it's been, you know, if somebody really wants this,
yeah,
you know, they'll pay $10, even though I bought it for $2 or $3.
Right.
I mean, so,
yeah.
Or they may sort of say, some of this I may ship to Amazon to be fulfilled by Amazon, because people may, if they want it, they want it faster, as opposed to, you know what, if they want this, they can wait a week for it or something. I
right.
can set it the slow boat.
Right.
So, I don't, you know, it, all I'm saying is the ones I've seen have been very niche service model thought through experiments. They haven't,
no.
I've not seen anybody put their whole business, you know.
No, I haven't either. I imagine that somewhere there's a play that says, you know, I'm going to be, Amazon Marketplace is going to be my business, and that's all I do. I don't have any infrastructure. I don't have any anything. I'm basically brokering product through Amazon.
Sure.
That seems like it might be a little risky, but it's an interesting model. But I'm thinking that I've seen the same thing you have. People make a decision that Amazon is a viable model, and they'll take a narrow selection of their carefully selected products and put them on, not so much as an experiment in my experience, but they have an intent to get a broader reach, get a nationwide reach
right.
on you know, 10 or 20 or 100 things that they sell.
Another scenario I see is let's say that you are maybe a retailer and you're selling a particular brand of fine china or knives or something like that, and you know, they try to not sell it to everybody, you know, so it's a franchise in a sense. And
yeah.
Somebody says, I'm going to put this on the website and cut the price because there's big fat margins in it, and the manufacturer gets all upset about it and so forth. But what you find is when you go to Amazon and you type in the generic thing you're looking for, or even the brand, and it mm-hmm. pops up, you also see all the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now you go find some fancy designer sunglasses.
Yeah.
And sure enough, they're there and somebody's trying to sell them at a bit of a discount. But you'll see other ones that look exactly the same, and you read the reviews, they say, it's exactly the same for a fraction of the cost. Why pay more when you can get a private label?
Yeah.
Now the manufacturer of the brand is going, my gosh, this has turned it into a commodity. If I don't sell Amazon directly, you know, then I'm going to lose to this other guy.
Yeah.
You know, and if I do that, at least I can protect the brand the way I want. But the idea that manufacturers will just honor 100-year-old legacy kinds of relationships in the channel, it's going to erode rapidly around some of these products and franchises.
Yeah, we've seen it a lot.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting. There's a viable model to have a broader reach, deeper marketing, get your company and your products into the range of vision of a broader audience, and to pull some incremental sales from some places that you would never get them. And as long as you're doing that on a profitable basis, then that means it's an improvement to the company
sure.
and a benefit. And so having some good cost modeling on it so that you know exactly what the financial benefit is vital. But I think that it's actually a good idea to sell what you have to as many people as want to buy it. And if you can do it on a basis that's a win-win for you and the customer, and perhaps even for Amazon, then I think that's probably a pretty good idea. All right, so interesting. I hope some of these thoughts are things that will give you some things to think about and may validate or refute some of the things that that you've been considering or your team has been considering, and will provide a benefit to you from having seen the video. So we'll look forward to seeing you in the next video.